I am the good shepherd, I know mine, and mine know me. Jesus compares himself to a hired guide who will not be there for us when it gets tough. So many of the things that guide our lives aren't there for us at the end because they weren't the proper guide to begin with. And it takes a lifetime to hear the shepherd. He keeps training us by means of different calls and different ways so that we hear him. Sometimes it takes years to realize that it was God's voice that was leading us. It can be very challenging. Well, this is Good Shepherd Sunday, and I was thinking about something this week. I hope you all enjoyed Father John. I didn't warn you he was coming, but I heard he did a good job last week, and he's an old friend of mine. I'm in a priest sharing group for the last 13 years, so that's where I met him. I mentioned this once before. When I came to Oregon 21 years ago, I was more familiar with Portland because at that time I had two sisters living there. I used to go to St. John the Apostle in Oregon City and freeze in the cry room, the unheated cry room they had in that church. But I wasn't familiar with Salem or Kaiser or anything at all. So in early 1992, in the spring, I decided to do some exploring. By that time, when I saw what the food was like at the seminary, I'd found every restaurant in Salem. But I haven't been to Kaiser too much. So anyway, I came down Hazel Green Road and just kept driving. I wanted to see what was at the end of it. And so I suddenly realized I was on Shemala. I thought, how did that happen? And then before I got to here to Kaiser, it was Lock Haven. I thought, this is odd, 8 miles and three names for this road. You know, so anyway, that's Oregon, you know. And so went by Mallory's, held my nose, God rest their soul, you know. And I got here to this church, and I stopped in here. I knew it was here, but I had trouble finding it. You know, at that time, we didn't have this sign that was out here. It didn't look like a church, so I came in, I found the church, it was open. I didn't meet anybody. I came in here, and over here to my left, your right, was a big orange swimming pool we were using as a baptismal font. Anybody remember that? Yeah. Some people told me after Mass they were baptized in that, and I thought, oh, I see, there's one right there. And I said, gosh, what a great idea. What an ugly baptismal font that is, you know, orange, big orange tub. And I looked at the church and I thought, oh, I don't think I like this architecture. And what a difference 21 years makes, huh? And the Lord listened to me and he said, I know where I'm going to put him. Wouldn't have believed it if you told me in a million years. It's the same thing I had at Mount Angel. I went up there in 1979. I was a monk. And I went up there to see if I wanted to join them. I was a novice. I wrote in my diary, don't like the weather, never want to come here again. The Trinity, when he hears me say, never, never will I do this, they take that as a challenge. I don't know if that's true in your life, but it really is true in life. And one other thing I said to God, and I've said this many times, I said, Lord, I'm a teacher and a preacher. I don't want to do any building projects. It's a pattern with God. I had this argument with him. And, you know, really, priests come in two flavors, really. There are some that do everything well, but most of us have to choose if we're going to be teachers and preachers or builders. You know, it's hard to do all those things because the time is very limited. And our hearts are usually in one place or the other. To me, to be honest with you, the building project I'm interested in is the heart. Each of us has... We've got two things going on in the parish. We've got the external, which we have to worry about. All of us have lives to support. You know, we're physical beings. We have to live somewhere. We got families. We have to put food on the table. But we also have within us a real temple that will last forever, and it's being built now. And the quality of this work is going to show on the last day, and that's what I feel called to help you build. And I'm there's always a construction project going on in my heart. You know what I mean? The things fall down, and Christ the carpenter comes in and starts rebuilding. That was his trade he got from his father. So I said, Christ, Lord, this was when we were praying about what to do here. I said, Lord, I'm a teacher, not a builder. And he says, well, I'm a carpenter, and I'm your boss, and you'll do what I want. Other arguments I've had, I say, Lord, I'm suffering too much. And he shows me one of his hands or feet, and that puts an end to that argument. So with all of that being said, we have come to a point here where God has been leading us. I found in this parish that God leads in funny ways. One of the building projects that we did that I was reluctant to take on was the Adoration Chapel. As you know, God led through many signs and wonders, and I really didn't think we could do what we've done. We couldn't even fill up Friday afternoon once a month when I got here, and it's flourishing. You know, I think there's so many graces coming out of that. And there were other things that we've done. I'm not taking credit for any of them, but I've been here while it happened. One of them was the landscaping here. And I have to admit, I kind of got that started, but it was rather controversial at the time. It doesn't seem like it now. I'm sure all of us are very much happy that we did it, but it definitely took a lot of prayer and a certain amount of grief to get that in and to find a way to do it without. It saved us a ton of money also, because it's all water from a well. The putting the cross out here was another thing that. The way that happened was such grace, so many different people's ideas. But it was very hard figuring out what size that cross ought to be. Looks perfect now, doesn't it? But I thought, gosh, that's too big. You know, people thought it would dominate the building and so on. And it's part of St. Ed's now, isn't it? It's part of Kaiser. It's a great witness here. Wasn't here 21 years ago, I tell you. You couldn't tell what this was when you drove by here 21 years ago. And the picnic shelter was another one that was we struggled with. So now we're struggling with this building project. And it's kind of interesting how God speaks to us. I wanted to share with you, you know, we're getting to a point here where all of us are involved and have to make choices. One of the things that has come up here that had nothing to do with the building project at all, but which has been really bugging us, a lot of us, it's the fact that there are all these drips coming out of the roof. And since we put the new roof on a few years ago, it's gotten worse. And I talked to the facility committee and some people here, and I said, you know, if something they did is making this worse, we need to get some redress or get it corrected, because I know what happens when you've got a lot of moisture in between these two, the inside and the outside. You know, end up with mold and all kinds of things. So we decided to go in there and take a look. You know, you probably wonder where all these holes are up here and why we did this. And so this was the reason, to see what is going on. And what we discovered was that the roof that we put on it caused some of it to come together in a certain place, but it didn't cause the issue. The issue is, and some of the parishioners already knew this, I talked to one that's been here since it was built and has known this for decades, is that there is, when you open this up at this time of year, when the weather's changing, in most of the year, I guess you say, especially the spring and the fall and then the winter, is that you have a lot of condensation between the top of the inside of the roof and then this whatever this is that is hiding it. What do you call this? Yeah. The ceiling. It's going to be a long sermon. All right. Well, as I say, I just wanted to get the drips fixed, and I just felt this is something we need to address. I don't want to just have, some people have actually have wanted to put an umbrella here. This area right here is where you really get it, that Paul doesn't have to take a shower sometimes by sitting there. Well, what we found was a surprise to me, but not to a few of you who have been with this parish since the beginning. I was told after the last Mass, I won't say who said this to me, but it's a person who knows what they're talking about. I said, we visited this three times in the past. We wanted to fix this, and instead I was told, we need to put a hall up first. Then we need to fix this about 10 years later. No, we want to add the classrooms, in case you don't realize the classrooms were added later, and they weren't finished because we're out of money. And so I was surprised. I came from the coast where mold and wood rot is a big problem there. So this is on my mind. We put in this, I have a handout to give you after Mass because we obviously can't take you up there to show this, but we have pictures of what we found in there. And unfortunately, what we discovered is that the building has cancer. You know, it's got wood rot and it's got a limited lifespan. It's actually beyond its lifespan. I wish that this had been dealt with better when the church was built. I don't know how many of these beams were here. Were any of these beams here? Most of these beams were put in a couple of years after the church was built. And this is because the top part began to push out against these unreinforced walls, wanting to spread. It was a design flaw. So the solution that came up, that was put up, were these beams. And unfortunately, this is what I was told, is that the beams which go all the way through to the roof, there's a limited space in there with insulation in most of these areas, not right at the top here, but these sides have insulation, is these cut off the flow of air that the original architect had designed. And so the water and the condensation builds up in there. And it just sits on the upper part of the roof there. And is one of the areas that we opened up, the insulation was so full of water, we just pulled it all out. If we were to take all of this off, I suppose that would air it out, wouldn't it? But it wouldn't look very good. I think what I'm trying to say is, when you, in a way, it's an image of a soul that needs repair, and most of us are in that situation. What looks as if nothing's ever changed and nothing's ever going to is an illusion, because underneath this is a building in trouble, and we can't see it, but this is a way to get a look at it. And I looked at that, and I said, I wonder, Lord, if you're not up to something. I'm the one that started the master plan. I have to admit, after that bus terminal, I just sat down with our different teams here, and I just said, we need to know where we're going. I want to put carpeting in here, and I can't. What length of lifespan of carpeting would you put in? I want to paint the fascia, is that what they're called? And I haven't been painted since 2001. I think it's hideous. After the landscaping, it really needed it. We didn't want to spend the money until we knew what we were doing here. So all these projects on hold. We started the master plan. Silly me, I had no idea that when you start a master plan, you usually end up actually doing something afterward. I probably would have kept my mouth shut. Because like you, I just soon let the next pastor deal with this. But God, God has a way of doing things. But I think God has been trying to help us. You see this problem. I was told we had an independent investigation of this, and so I put in here for your consideration. And they said, Father, between 5 and 15 years, you're going to have, it's going to be the end of the building. We're going to have to deal with it. If there's an earthquake or a huge windstorm in the right place, it will happen sooner. And my fear is that if we put our heads in the sand and pretend and put this off, when we pull them out, it will be in a crisis situation when money will be worth even less and it will be even more difficult and the cost of building will be much higher. We're at historic lows right now. And I looked at it and I said, I think God has been leading us. We're living in troubled times right now. I'm very aware of that, both spiritually troubled in our country and financially troubled. And I think we need to have a structure that we can count on for the years ahead. All of us would prefer, I think, sometimes to deny things that are uncomfortable and stuff, but we're also in the middle of a spiritual journey. It's exciting, I think, that God entrusts us as good shepherds. What does it mean to be a good shepherd of a parish like this? My temptation in any time there's a problem is to hide or to run away not physically, but to run away from an issue, like the hired hand who doesn't love his parish or love or not want to deal with a problem in our lives. We all have that. But the Lord, I think, is guiding us and giving us something that, an opportunity to, there is something we can do. I think St. Ed's is called to be a light to the world and light to the area and to be here in the years ahead. We have a building that is, if we were to, the issue is when the time comes to fix this, and it is going to come sooner rather than later, it's going to require a teardown, the extent to which will trigger a complete code upgrade of this building. There is no escaping it. And that's, we're looking at $2 to $4 million, depending on who you ask, when that happens. I don't think there's a person in this room that thinks that would be a wise spending of money. If we were to reconstruct it for classrooms, we can get away from most of that by supporting this taking off this middle section and putting walls around the middle. That will take care of the spreading and eliminate the need for the takedown. Those are the issues. I think on a spiritual level, one of the things that I find hardest, the thing is, I have come to love this building and love the people in it, and most of you. Names available upon request. No, I'm just kidding. I've come to love the building that I did not care for 21 years ago. Why is that? Because I love what we've done here. I love this. This is my spiritual home. This is my spiritual living room, just like you. That's why it's hard to conceive of doing anything different. If it's up to me, I wouldn't change a thing. I'm loath to change anything in such a great parish as this is. But I'm called to be a good shepherd. God calls me to do something that's not comfortable, which is what I'm doing today. And maybe perhaps all of you to get out of our comfort zones and plan for the future and not put our heads in the sand. It's also an exciting spiritual journey. This may be the best opportunity this parish has ever had to do this. The choice will be up to you. But I want to leave you with one thought, and that is, this Easter, we've been advertising the last few years. I don't know why we do, because we're so full. The 815 was so full this year, we were turning people away at that Mass. And I've gotten to the point where I don't want to go out there and shake hands at Easter and Christmas before Mass, because I don't want to see the families I can see do not know St. Ed's. They're checking us out. Maybe they're coming back to church. This is when people come back to the Catholic Church or check people out. They can't get in. They don't know to come early. And these people are not with us now. I realize we're not full at two of the four Masses during the year. But that's one thing to consider. So in the spiritual journey, Jesus the Good Shepherd has got two projects going right now. One is this external one, but there will come a time when both this building and the one that we will put up will all fade away, and all of us will be forgotten. But the building inside of us is going to last forever. This is one thing we cannot escape. Christ the Good Shepherd, who was in fact a carpenter, wants to get busy and build the church in our hearts. This is where the action is. And every challenge that he gives us in your life, and there are some of you are struggling with very deep things right now, all of this is intended to be part of our spiritual building project that the Good Shepherd has got us all working on. And thank God that he, the Good Shepherd, the Good Carpenter, knows what we need. I had something else to say. Oh. When I came here 21 years ago, I left a job that I thought was very promising. They gave me a good salary, a good moving package. And, my company is in bankruptcy and the office is closing, and I'm praying for all my coworkers who are there now. I think that God, I'm glad that I said yes to that. It was not an easy thing to do. But I see that the Lord had the foresight to lead me where I needed to go. And I pray that God will give us the foresight also at St. Ed's to lead us where we need to go, because only he knows the answers to these questions. God bless you.